Stay connected this winter with this unbeatable deal from Breezeline. Get reliable, fiber-powered internet for just $19.99 per month with all-in pricing for 2 years. But that's not all. Your first month is on us. This deal gets better with a free modem and installation, along with free Wi-Fi your way whole home coverage. Safeguard your network from cyber threats and keep all your devices connected and secured with this amazing offer. Act now. Terms and conditions apply. Offer expires March 3rd, 2024. Learn more at breezeline.com.
If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help you ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Welcome, everybody, to Ruining Ruined. I'm Hallie, as always.
And I'm Allison, who remembers her name. So we're already off to a good start. So your tone at the beginning.
50% of the time.
Your tone at the beginning has me LOLing.
I am absolutely filled with the desire to hear you forget your name every time. But I'm glad you got it.
There's good odds that I will, because I have no idea who I am anymore. Yeah, welcome to Ruining Ruined, our super fun after show where we chat about a movie that we've already ruined for you guys.
And of course, this week's movie is The Descent. So of course, we are here with a very special guest
to talk
about the film, Heidi Gardner. Heidi, thank you so much for joining us.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me, ladies. I'm so excited.
We've had so many technical difficulties, so I can't see Heidi. So it is like she's inside a cave.
Yes, this is very Descent-y.
Yes, this is a girl's trip.
This is a girl's trip.
Girl's trip through the internet. Because obviously you all know Heidi from Saturday Night Live. And one of the reasons we connected is she played a character on Weekend Update called Jessie Rauch, who is a woman who inadvertently seems to be Freddy Krueger. And Heidi, I did want to ask, was this an idea that you had been marinating on, or is this something where it's like, well, we have the sweater and I say we just go for it?
You know, I happened to see someone at work one day, the week before I did the character, who I believe was inadvertently dressed like Freddy Krueger.
And oh no!
I was about to call it out, or because I'm such a horror fan, I was going to be like, hey, cool, or did you try to dress like Freddy? And then I was like, that might not be a compliment. So I just pocketed it for a character and did it.
I absolutely hope that you're able to do that character again, and it's just that exact same premise. Like, she still doesn't know that she's dressed like a movie murderer.
I agree.
It's so funny that you could, like, inadvertently dress as him, just because, like, that sweater is so iconic at this point that, like, a company that makes it has to be like, oh, you mean the Freddy Krueger sweater? Like, what else could it possibly be for? Like, no, I can't imagine a styling of it that wouldn't immediately evoke. I mean, the hat helps, but it's so funny.
Heidi, are you a horror person in general? Like, is this sort of also your cinematic wheelhouse?
You know, I think it is, but I think I inadvertently am, because I just have been over the last year being like, yeah, I freaking love horror and I know a lot about it, but I think I never went to like horror conventions or necessarily like was like a Fangoria girl. So I just never considered myself part of the club, but now I'm starting to be like, yeah, no, I totally am, I think.
Yeah, I feel that way about horror, even as someone who has watched a ton of stuff. And then it's sort of like, I don't know. And it's sort of like, to me, like when you go to McDonald's, where it's like, should I be at McDonald's? And you look around, and you're like, everyone here is also at McDonald's. There's no, we're free to just be here and enjoy the things we like to enjoy. So I encourage you to just keep going on this journey. And the movie we're talking about this week was also a suggestion from Heidi. And it, of course, is The Descent. And this was one of a couple of films that you sent over. And yeah, is this a particular favorite of yours, or just seemed like this is something that people should absolutely have ruined for them?
It's definitely a favorite of mine, because I think it was the first time I saw something horrifying on 25 different levels. I mean, it just, it doesn't quit.
It's scary all the way down, having not seen it, but having Hallie now describe everything in detail to me. It's so scary.
Yeah.
Did you see this in theaters or did you like just kind of like casually rent it, stream it?
I did. I saw it in theaters. I remember seeing it with my boyfriend then, husband now, and I think I'd heard about it. And we saw it the opening weekend at the Grove in LA.
Love it.
Yeah, and we were both, to this day, I rewatched it before doing this podcast with you guys. I think we've only seen it that one time, but we always were like, that's one of the scariest movies ever. And then we watched it again on Saturday night and we were like, oh yeah, we weren't wrong. This is horrifying.
I think it says a lot that it like holds up for you because it's like 12 or 15 years old at this point, maybe.
Yeah.
It's like from 2007 or 9. I forget.
2005. You hit them in the ballpark.
Yeah, I'm close. I have no idea when 2005 was, but it's like impressive that it like holds up as still being scary.
Well, let us begin our, we have a lot of games, a lot of caves to descend into. Allison, you want to kick us off?
I do. Yeah. Wow. Seamless. We're just like falling into exactly how we,
seamlessly demanding you go into your segment.
Okay. Now the show has started. You go. look, we're nothing if not just smooth, polished hosts.
Yeah. I would say like we're a well-oiled machine, but like a machine that does not need to be oiled, like a really oily computer or something where it's like, who put all this oil over here?
So obviously like The Descent, all of our listeners now will have listened, I hope, to the episode where we ruin the movie, but if you haven't, please do that. The Descent is about a girl's trip gone wrong, so I thought we would chat a little bit about girl's trips in our lives, and if you've had, I hopefully not one that's been this traumatic, but I think that part of girl's trips is they are friendship ruining, usually.
Mm-hmm. As we learned from the film, girl's trip.
Yeah, it's like life ruining, friendship ruining. I feel like there's always a villain. I went on a good friend of mine's bachelorette weekend, and there was one woman on it who was she was the villain so much that like she left halfway through, and everybody was like, well, this is wonderful, just perfect. She got mad at everybody, and we were like, okay, well, we're going to go drink rosé on a boat, have fun. But do you have any like memorable, like a wildest trip or like a best or a worst memory, or just are you not a girls' trip person in general? If you've seen this movie, I assume you might not be.
I do have a few girls' trips. It's so funny you saying like there was a villain. I feel like it was one of my friend's 21st birthdays and we went to the Lake of the Ozarks. I think we went to the Lake of the Ozarks because I knew that down there, well, you know, we could drink because she had just turned 21 and you could do minnow shots, like shots with little minnows in them where you like swallow it.
And I was, so you swallow a live fish.
Good God.
And I was I was like, that sounds so 21 years old or so. I don't know. So we did that. I remember I also was like, what else is like for 21 year olds? And I was like, oh, people do that thing where they do like a watermelon vodka thing. Like,
yeah.
But I didn't Google how to do that, so...
No, why would you?
We just sliced a watermelon in half, and then I was like, I think you just poke holes in it and then pour a bottle of vodka so that it soaks or something. And so we did that and let the watermelon soak while we went and did, like, the minnow shots at Big Dick's bar. Then we came back. We tried to eat this like nasty vodka watermelon.
Oh, I'm sure it was just like mushy too. Cause like there's like some science to like watermelon maintaining any structural integrity. Like once you douse it in vodka, it's liquid.
And I already have a problem with the texture of watermelon. I don't like it. But again, this was for my friend's birthday. so we eat that. I guess we kind of get drunk off that. And then we all decided, I think there were like five of us, we decided to like skinny dip and jump off the dock into the lake.
This is a recipe for disaster. I'm like, this is a head injury. Horrible movie. You have to like pretend you hide your friend or something that died. This is horrible.
Yes, because my adult anxiety now is like when I say the words have drunk a lot and then go skinny dipping, jump in the lake off a dock without a life jacket.
Yeah, at night, I'm like, sure.
Yes, at night. Oh. I think I jumped directly on one of my friends. Like, you know, like, I think I sunk her a little. So that just, I'm like, how, we're so lucky to be alive. And then I think we all passed out, like, on the cabin. It was my grandpa's cabin, my Bampo, that he built with his own hands. And we just, thrashed it and trashed it. And then the next day, when we were driving us home, I got us so lost. But I was driving and, like, I was also being funny in the car and, like, doing a bit. And all the other girls were so over the girls' trip that's when I think I became the villain. They were like, shut up. You've also driven us, like, 2 hours in the wrong direction. We hate you. We're over you.
Oh, my God. I'm sure, were you guys hungover? I can't, like, I feel like at 21, I was either, like, hungover to the point of, like, needing to go to a hospital or, like, woke up and was like, I'm going to go work out. Like, now I have, like, 2 glasses of wine. I'm like, well, I got to lie down for the rest of the day. But,
yeah, I feel like it wasn't until this year during quarantine, I'm like, oh, I'm finally hydrated. Like, I finally caught up after a decade of being completely hungover and dehydrated.
I know some of those youth vacations and, like, trips, like, I went on spring break with a bunch of my girlfriends to Mexico, and we were at a bar talking to these guys, and there were these, like, tall, handsome, like, USC swimmers. We were like, all right, like, what's this? I could get into this. And then at one point, this guy goes, do you guys want to do meth? And we were like, what?
Whoa.
And then we were like, no, we're good. Like, no, thank you.
Meth. That's a tough sell.
And he pulled a syringe out of his pocket and jammed it into his thigh in front of us.
He was injecting meth at the bar?
And I'm like, looking back, and, like, I'm like, there is a pretty good chance
the one that got
that
away
was, like, I know, that should have been my husband, who I lost to some tragic accident.
Probably jumping off, getting drunk and jumping in the lake at night, knowing him.
But it just, like, and then I was like, oh, that also might have been, like, a bit he was doing. I have to tell myself that, because I'm like, what on earth? Otherwise, like, how did he not stab us? Like, it was so.
Wait, did he inject himself through his pants?
No, he was wearing shorts. We're in Mexico.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Whoa,
obviously.
Were you not imagining everybody in short shorts? That's what was happening.
I almost feel like it's more fucked up if that was a bit. Like, I feel like if that was real, that was like, well, that guy's on meth. But to be like, ah, it's a ruse to hit on women.
I was going
to
say, like, if you think that's how you get women is you trick them into thinking you're doing meth in public. You know what women love? Public illegal drug use.
Wow.
And we were in Mexico, and I'm like, this is legally, this can become way worse of a problem for you here, I think.
Yeah, I don't know Mexican law, but I can't imagine injecting meth into your leg at a bar is allowed.
No, I don't think
Again,
so.
Write in if you guys know, if you're listening.
Yeah. Hallie, do you have any?
I don't have any girls trip. I've never been on a girls trip, which I realize was very sad. I feel like I only travel for weddings. But one time I did organize a friend trip, but they also all brought their significant others. And we were going to from New York to Delaware because I have an aunt and uncle who live near Rehoboth Beach. And it's great. It's like a wonderful beach out. Of course, when we went, it rained the entire time. And I was incredibly depressed. And I was the only person there without like a boyfriend or husband. And I was like, man, I really goofed. We went bowling, which is fine. But the one thing that did happen is I had one, I would tell her this, but my friend's boyfriend, now her, you know, forever her partner, he was just really on my nerve, and not for any reason he was doing, but just like I think our personalities are just like a little bit, you know, not a good mix. But I had rented this like terrible boxy American like minivan, and I don't know what brand it is, so I can't like denigrate the brand or whatever, but it had that thing like now you have like, you know, like an actual metal key, or you know, you keep your key fob and you can like put it in the cup holder and then you just press a button. But this was a weird hybrid where, like, the key sat in a little shallow divot, but it didn't go in like a regular key. Anywho, a result, when I was driving back from Delaware with all these people in the van, I'm driving, and I hit the key with my knee, and the key flies out while I'm going onto the Verrazano Bridge from the New Jersey Turnpike.
That's also, like, the scariest bridge.
Dead stop. Oh, and it's, like, we're, like, four different lanes are converging onto the bridge, and I am screaming, like, ah!
I'm so stressed out.
I'm not realizing what's going on, but I'm able to, like, sort of pull ourselves to, like, the little triangle, and my friend's boyfriend calmly is like, don't worry, we're going to figure this out. He puts the key back in. Of course, I can't restart the car because I'm not in park, so I'm panicking. So he puts the car in park, and I was able to restart it. And I was like, well, you know, I was wrong about this guy. So he came through, and I really appreciate that. And I was the one being a bitch. And we didn't die. But it was just that moment of like, boy, this trip was kind of a bust, and now I'm going to get all of us killed on the highway. And that's going to be our trip. So...
yeah. I don't, in general, I'm like, maybe I don't ever want to go on a trip with a group of people ever again.
The only more if I think someone else it. Is like organizing it or paying for it. I feel like if it's like, if there's yeah. like a, yeah. somebody else is doing it, then I'll go.
I'll attend. Are you an extreme sports person, Heidi? Are you an adventure seeker?
No. I mean, okay, I'll great. Do stuff, but I don't seek it out at all.
Okay, great. You're like us. Yeah, I'm into sitting. I guess sitting is my interest.
Yeah.
I feel like I know people who do like go on like, we'll take like ayahuasca or something. Or like, I feel like I know more people who would go on a drug trip than someone who mm-hmm. would go like whitewater rafting. I wish yes. I knew more of those people. I don't know where they are. The movie is also about extreme sports, about something about which Elsa and I know nothing about.
Nothing.
But we wanted to ask you, give you some would you rather the descent version. So sort of in what scenario... would you be more comfortable with regards to extreme sports? So my first question to you is, would you rather go scuba diving in jeans or mountain climbing in sandals?
Oh, my God. I think scuba diving is more terrifying, so I'm going to go with mountain climbing in sandals, which is probably less safe. I don't know, but I'm picking.
Yeah, because you'd be slip sliding.
Yeah, the higher you get, the more dangerous. It is.
I guess it also depends on the jeans. Like, if it's, like, a skinny jean, I think maybe you'd be fine. If it's, like, a dungaree, if it's, like a JNCO.
Like a non-stretch Levi's 501. What, like, they're just so heavy, I feel like they would pull you down.
Oh, yeah. No,
but I feel like a skinny jean is probably just basically a wetsuit, and I feel like I just true. Picked... mountain climbing in sandals. I'm dead. I'm for sure dead. I can't believe I did that. To be safe, because I was like, scuba diving's kind of freaky. Right.
But scuba diving is scary sounding to me. Like, I love the water. I'm like all about boats and swimming, but like, I don't want to go scuba diving. Once something else is running my breathing, I'm not thrilled yes. with the experience, I think.
Have you guys ever gone snorkeling? I feel like that's like the closest I've ever done to anything yes. even remotely approaching an extreme sport.
I did a thing on my honeymoon where you're not down that deep, but you have like basically a helmet on and you're kind of like walking on the ocean floor. But again, you're not that it's like in an area that's not that deep. And you're connected by, like, a hose into your helmet that's, like, connected to the boat. And you're following a guide. And we probably got, like, 20 feet from the boat. And in my head, I was like, this is a horror movie. This guy, why am I following? Why am I in this helmet that is like, so heavy? Where are we going? God. He could also just walk away. Like,
right. How are you staying walking on the ocean floor without, like, floating up?
I don't even know. At this point, it was an out-of-body experience because even me describing
it. Can you explain the physics of it?
All I know is I had, like, the worst back pain of my life the next day because I think those helmets are, like, 75 pounds on your shoulders but you can't feel it.
Right, and I'm sure you put it on before you go underwater, so you might have been like, feeling gravity at that time.
I've only been snorkeling once, and I remember the horror I felt when I get in the water. I'm like, oh, you know, I never swim. Like, I know how to swim. Mm-hmm. I haven't swam in 15 years. So everyone's like, oh, dive down to see the fish. I'm like, oh, diving down. Like, I had no, it was like, my body hadn't done that in so long. So yeah, so the next day it was like at a destination wedding. I also was in extreme pain because I was like, why did I think I could just be like, yeah, I haven't been in the water in 10 years. So I live in New York. I could definitely go snorkeling.
I even did, on that diving down thing, that same trip. Again, I'm not that adventurous, but I did that whole like swimming with a dolphin thing. They tell you, they're like, grab onto its fin and it's going to take you down and then you'll like come up with it. And my husband heard me. He didn't want to pay the exorbitant amount to swim with the dolphin.
Oh, because it is so said, much.
Man after my own heart.
He said he heard me in the group of like the five of us that were in there raise my hand and go, how deep will the dolphin be taking us down? And oh they were God. Like, it's not going to be that far and you could let go at whatever point. But in my head, I was like, is it going to be the ocean floor? Like, I don't know how, like,
how did they know not to go down there?
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Right. Like miles out. You're like, I think I'm still going.
Yeah. They yes. don't have like a contract where they're like, no, I know where I'm supposed to go. I'll stick in this area. Don't worry. Like they're wild animals. I mean, they're penned yes. wild animals. Also, like, in my mind, I would also be afraid of, like, it, like, if my hand is grabbing its fin, like, it grabbing my hand back somehow. Even though that's, like, not how they work at all. Would you rather be trapped in an avalanche with no cell phone or stuck online waiting to get the vaccine at the Javits Center with no cell phone?
The Javits Center one.
Yeah.
I don't want to be underground or anything no. or under snow.
No. Though I do feel like whenever I go, it is going to be hours of just standing and I'm going to have forgotten to charge my phone and I'm just going to be by yes. myself, just standing, just standing around.
Heidi, I have the next one. Would you rather be trapped in a cave with no flashlight or wear a giant metal feather necklace that a man picked out and had engraved for you? Knowing that his wife also knows what he has engraved on there.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Such a good question. Because that is one of the horrifying parts of the descent. But I would rather wear that than be in a cave alone in the dark. It's too scary.
I guess it's sort of like being the other woman feels like it's the emotional cave for me, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So I guess it's like, yeah, if I'm in a cave where I could clearly get out, that's fine. But other than that, I'll wear the necklace.
Yeah, I don't know. Men are just really bad at picking out jewelry, and I'm very specific about what I like to wear. I just don't know if I could put that on and feel good about myself.
That's a good point, too.
All right, would you rather go whitewater rafting with a serial killer or someone who keeps referring to your whitewater rafting trip as your journey?
Ew.
And I guess you get to pick the serial killer.
Yeah.
Do I definitely get killed by the serial killer?
No, it just is a serial. I said he because, like, men do everything.
It could be Eileen Wuornos. Yeah, okay. you're on a whitewater rafting trip with Eileen Wuornos.
Who is she?
That one, 100% Eileen Wuornos whitewater trip. Girls
I would
trip.
Have so many questions. Girls trip. And
the ultimate girls trip. She's the only, I'm sure there are others, that's the only female serial killer I could think of.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know their names because, like, women get erased from history, so.
Well, thank you for defending the legacy of female serial killers.
Yes.
And then finally, would you rather go parachuting nude or go parachuting with the leprechaun strapped to your back?
Like the leprechaun from the movie?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, not the Notre Dame one, the one from the films.
Yeah. On this podcast, we only observe one leprechaun, and that is the leprechaun.
The leprechaun. Ugh, he would be so nasty on your back. I feel like he would try and do stuff, and so I'm going to go naked. He's sneaky. Great. I feel like, yeah no. Mm-mm. I don't want him on my back.
I wouldn't trust him.
Yeah. And he would mess with the parachute.
Yeah.
That. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, you'd pull the string and all of his gold coins would fly out, I'm assuming.
Yeah. And then it's like you would think you were dying until like the last second and then he'd be like, hee-hee-hee-hee or something, you know? And so, no.
Also, like, you'd protect him in the fall. So, like, he doesn't care what happens to you. Like, you're just a buffer to absorb shock.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess we know too much about the leprechaun to assume that he would be chill with a chill parachuting partner.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Save big money on everything for your spring projects at Menards. We have all of your garden and landscaping essentials. Master Garden Premium Garden Soil contains a slow-release fertilizer that feeds gardens for up to 9 months. It produces better results and is ready to use for all your gardening needs. Save big on Menards' great selection of garden and landscaping products. Compare brands in-store or online at Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
March into spring with this unbeatable deal from Breezeline. Get reliable, fiber-powered 500 megabits internet for $39.99 per month, plus a $100 gift card and price lock guarantee. This deal gets even better with a free modem, free installation, and free Wi-Fi your way home. Safeguard your network from cyber threats and manage user access for all connected devices with this amazing offer. Act now. Terms and conditions apply. Offer expires May 6, 2024. Learn more at breezeline.com.
All right, we have another fun, chatty segment.
Arguable, but it is a chatty segment.
I mean, time for some girl talk, because this movie is all about creatures in caves, but it's also about secrets. Secrets are scary. I think that is as scary an element as, like, all of the monsters running around in this movie, at least hearing about it for me. So, you know, what's the biggest secret you've ever kept from someone? Or, like, any stories about secrets that you might find relevant or interesting here?
Well, you know, when I found out I got on SNL, they say, you know, don't tell anyone, like, until we announce it. Like, of course, right, you can tell your husband, but, like, that's about it. And the announcement for me, it kept on getting, I think it was like, they were like, but it'll get announced in like 3 days or something. So, you know, you don't have to wait that long or something.
3 days it was is a, like, long time with that one, though.
Yeah. But it ended up being like 10 days. And, you know, I told my husband, and then I, like, couldn't not tell my parents, you know, but I was like, mm-hmm, so did not trust them, because I was like, they're going to tell more people. And then if, absolutely, you know, in my head, I just get the job and I'm like, and if Lauren Michaels finds out, I'm getting fired. You know, like, I thought,
of course,
like,
yeah, for of some, course, of course.
I suddenly had the thought that my parents could spread this like wildfire, like, across, oh, the,
yeah,
world.
And it's like, Lauren Michaels finds out that your parents told their, like, neighbors or something. And he's like, you let it out? Why would you do this?
You gotta guess. You gotta go.
And I remember getting a text. I told my mom and I said, do not tell anyone, do not tell anyone, a million times. And then I get a text from my Uncle Ed, who's my mom's brother, like a day later, who's like, heard the news. And, like,
oh no.
The,
oh,
way, no. I mean, I'm going to sound dramatic, but the way I ripped into my mom, which, by the way, I, like, don't ever get angry. So the way I ripped into my mom was literally just a text that was like, hey, I told you not to. But for me, that felt really huge.
Totally.
And my husband, I remember him being like, you shouldn't have told your mom, you know. But then I come to find out, like, my husband had told his entire family, all of his friends. It was like,
oh my gosh. Oh,
it was horrifying living until, like, they actually announced it from the show. Cause I was like, somehow these people in Missouri and Colorado are gonna get me caught. And, like, I'm not even gonna get to start the show, like, on Saturday night.
I was going to say, like, are you from the Midwest? Because I'm someone who also has those fears where it's like, any scenario, I'm like, what is the most remote possibility? And also, I know that's going to happen. Like, yes. We'll find out that my brother, that my husband's family's cousin found out about this.
Yes.
Well, 100%. Speaking of your husband, I just had a question because I've been thinking about this part of the movie. Sarah, at the end of the film, just absolutely axes Juno and leaves her to die in the cave after finding out that Juno was having this affair. As a married woman, do you feel like you could see yourself doing something like that? Because to me, wow. I was a Juno defender, unfortunately, because I just felt like she's gonna die. Like, I, you know what I mean? Like, she did this to her friends, obviously, but she also did it to herself. But I also see Sarah I understand her rage in finding this out in the worst possible way in a cave while her friends are being killed by monsters.
Yeah. Well, okay, so here's what I think, because I think Sarah did that because she actually blamed Juno for her daughter's death. And at that point, I think she was avenging her daughter's death. Because I think if you add it all up, it's like, oh, he was distracted in the car that day, you know, and so I think that's where the, like, pickaxe through the knee happened. I think if it was just an affair, she would have probably gotten Juno out and, like, either kicked her ass or, you know, or with verbal kicking ass. But I think it was the daughter part.
That makes sense.
I agree. Yeah. I also think, like, we sort of see Sarah's journey. Like, you sort of see her covered in blood, you know, in the torchlight. And it's sort of like the Sarah that we knew at the beginning of the movie wouldn't have done that. But, like, having been through this experience, it's like, it's both revenge and also, like, practically speaking, this is her way to get out. Like, if they're distracted by Juno, Sarah's able to be reborn, like, you know, literally the metaphor of her getting out and being able to hopefully go have another life after Juno, to your point, kind of ruined her old one.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I would do it. I'm saying I could see myself doing it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Allison, if you and I were ever in a cave and this happened.
Have I been having an affair with Dave?
I don't know. Finally, it comes out. Have you? Have you been having
podcast?
In front of Heidi Gardner, you're going to embarrass me like this?
After all of the technical difficulties, you wait till now?
Please do not have an affair with my boyfriend. I would really appreciate it. Boyfriend of the pod, Dave, great guy. Yeah.
Don't worry, I won't. But I did, when we were talking about this movie, I was like thinking about it a lot because I did have one of my very good friends all through college. And after her boyfriend, when we were sophomore years in college, was like a good friend of all of ours. Like we had all met him. Like we were all mutually friends with him before they started dating. And years later, I had hooked up with him. And they were friends. Like, it was, like, not a big deal. But I still felt weird that, like, she didn't know that. And so, like, years later, I was telling her. And I was like, Laura, I have to tell you something. Oh, I'm changing all the names in this, but not that it matters. You don't know them. but neither do our listeners, hopefully. I was like, I have to tell you something. It's just, like, been weighing on me. I, you know, slept with. And she was like, oh, my God, no. You slept with Brendan? And I was like, oh, my God, no. Her other ex-boyfriend. And I was like, oh my God, ew, no, gross. Why would anybody say, like, on how, like, disgusting it was in my mind that, like, anybody would have sex with him. And then she was like, I was like, no, Dan. And she was like, oh, okay. What about Brett? And I was like, no, just he sucked, man. Like, it's over. But I was just, like, spending so much time going over it. She was like, okay, I get it. You didn't like him. But I related to Juno feeling kind of like a little like, ugh. And it wasn't even, you know, her husband. And no one died, so.
I guess, like, to me, it speaks to you. I think you as a good person is, like, the fact that you felt compelled to tell her that. Not that I wouldn't. I just feel like I'm sort of a let sleeping dogs lie type of person. Yeah. But I guess that leads to the other question is, what is the worst thing someone's ever done to you, Heidi, if you have a deep betrayal you'd like to reveal on our podcast?
Yeah, if you want to air that here, you know, now's a good time.
Well, no. The one that comes up, I brought this on. This was like seventh grade band camp.
So we're going deep. Ooh. Those formative betrayals.
And this is definitely like nastier than anything adults would do.
And like your brain is still forming. So like these betrayals like form us in ways that like, what's your 30, whatever age, these things happen.
Yeah, when you're I don't know what someone could do to me now.
But I brought this on myself. So I did a betrayal that then brought on the betrayal. So my best friend, Ashley, and I, we go to band camp. And okay, so we'd go to basketball camp at KU, and then we'd also go to band camp. And at basketball camp, I was like the star. And at band camp, she was like the star. Like, so at basketball camp, I'd had my week of like being cool, you know, getting picked as team captains, all this stuff. Then we go to band camp the next week and we both play flute. And Ashley was like a flute prodigy and I never practiced my flute and was not good. So she gets in band A and I get in band B with all the kids that aren't as good at instruments. And so this is our second week in a row of like spending the whole week with each other in like dorms. And so we're getting on each other's nerves like pretty bad. Yeah. And also, this is my week of not being as cool. And like, I kind of felt like I started picking up on the vibes like, yeah, Ashley thinks she's all that at band camp. And, you know, I'm just getting annoyed. And like, she's getting invited to do stuff by like other good, like woodwind players and stuff. And I'm not.
Oh, boy.
And so she goes
jealousy
to take a shower and her journal is out there in the open.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, she, something's going on. I'm reading it because she's being a bee. And this is why, you know, you get what you deserve. I open up the journal.
Oh, no.
And
oh,
this is, again, going to sound so stupid. And the first thing I read is, Heidi is so bad at flute. She is...
Oh no.
She gets put in the like shittiest bands because she's so bad at flute. I know she barely practices. She's just like wasting her parents' money. She sucks at flute. Oh, my and God. Then I like hear the shower turn off. I like put it away and like in your head I'm like I have to act like nothing's happening, you know? Like because I know what I did isn't right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then when she comes out, I'm being like a total bitch. And she's like, what's wrong? And I'm just like, nothing. You know, that whole game, just like, nothing. I'm fine. Nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong, you know? So I feel betrayed, even though she was totally right on. I did suck at flute and I did not try at all. But I, you know, I'm the one who did the bad thing. And I got mine.
That's like such an eloquent like karma experience. Where it's like, nope, I now I know what you think.
Yeah,
I'm bad at flute. And to have her be right, that's the so savage I part know. Of all. If she was wrong, you'd be like, okay, whatever. It's like, no, she was right.
Right. Yeah, and it's like, why is she telling her diary that you suck at flute?
This isn't anywhere near as incredible as that, but I what it reminds me of, it was going into sixth grade, and I don't know if you guys had this experience, but I remember going to my first day of sixth grade, and everyone had gotten jeans, and I was still wearing leggings, and I was like, why did no one tell me about jeans? But I had one cool friend, Nicole, that is her real name, Google her, and...
Allie's friend, Nicole.
I remember we would go to, like, garage sales, like, so it was, like, the summer before sixth grade with our moms or whatever. And we were really excited, like, oh, you get all this cool stuff or whatever. I remember finding these pairs of, like, they were, like, truly bizarre shoes that my mother shouldn't have allowed me to wear. They were, like, patent leather, like, galoshes, like a lace-up ankle boot. Like, I don't know who had them, like, or from what era. But Nicole was like, those are really cool. Like, you absolutely should buy them. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I'm not someone who normally would wear this, but, like, they're a dollar. So I wear them to school the next week or whatever. Everyone's like, ew, what are those shoes? And Nicole's like, yeah, those are gross. And I was like, oh, she tricked me.
Devastating.
And that was that first, like, mean girl experience where I was like, wow, she got me good. Like, I think she did like them. And then when she saw everyone else hated them, she's like, no, I do think they're gross. But she, you know, look, again, we're 12.
Which I think is almost more hurtful because, like,
yes,
you're that's somebody who's, like, willing to, like, drop. Like, that's not somebody who was like, I'm going to get Hallie and, like, tell her to buy these shoes and then she's going to wear these shoes and we're all going to laugh at her. It's like the second that other people thought they were cool and she could separate herself, she's like, bye.
And I should have known it was the end of our friendship because we would reenact like TLC's Waterfalls. Mm-hmm. And it was like her two girls, and then I had to play like the drug dealer and the boyfriend, like the auxiliary characters. You know what I mean? When we would do the like film the music video. So
yeah. Devastating. Yeah. Middle school is not kind to anyone. It's just so hard. It's so sad.
This has been a look into all of our lives, I think.
Yeah.
Much like The Descent offers, you know, what would happen to you if you were put in this stressful situation. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to offer you something that we offer all of our guests, except for our last episode, because we just completely forgot. But yeah. We'd like to make you a bespoke horror movie. And so we're going to give you some options, and then we're just going to paint you a word picture about the horror movie that you will be the protagonist of.
Yes.
So I'll have
and
you
And we'll pick. Do it kind of based on The Descent, so like kind yes. of a similar... We're thinking an adventurous girl's trip gone wrong.
Okay.
So if you could pick from these activities, scuba diving, rock climbing, or ice fishing, which one feels like something that you could see yourself doing?
Ice fishing.
Ice fishing. Love it.
Right, so it's like you and a girlfriend going ice fishing. Now, of the girlfriends, either your friend who acts like she's done this before when she's really just done Zoom yoga, your friend who hasn't given any thought to when we're going to eat and doesn't seem sufficiently worried about any of those kinds of things, or your friend, your best friend who raves about it and honestly, you don't see it.
I'm going to go the first one who acts like she knows what she's doing. Okay.
And then finally, you just pick one of these monsters, a demon hellspawn, a chainsaw-wielding cannibal, or, of course, the leprechaun.
Chainsaw-wielding cannibal.
Oh, wow.
You've decided to finally do it. You're going ice fishing. You've been saying it for years. And you're finally going with your friend, who she talks all the time about ice fishing. But yeah. You've never, like, seen her do it. You know what I mean? Like, she posts ice fishing videos, but it's not her. It's, like, from other ice fishing Instagrams. But
yeah,
you trust
like
her.
Copy-paste, like screenshotting and then putting it in stories. Not, like, a real regram.
So you're hanging out there. You're on the ice. You're having, well, you wouldn't say, like, a good time. You're not having a great time. But it's fine. You know, you like fish. You brought a bunch of snacks. You're, like, getting a little bit drunk. And in the distance, you keep hearing this sound, and you're like, I guess this is just like an ice fish, like a drill to drill the ice fishing.
Right, because
you don't know enough about it.
Right.
And your friend says, yeah, that I hear that when I go ice fishing, I hear that sound all the time.
Yeah.
And it's getting closer, and you're like, it sounds like a chainsaw. Like, it sounds like somebody's running a chainsaw. And your friend's like, yeah, sometimes you need chainsaws.
Right.
You know, and you're like, wait a minute, have you actually ever gone ice fishing? Your friend's like, okay, I haven't, like, gone ice fishing. And then you both turn around and you realize there is a chainsaw-wielding maniac running towards you. And how do you know he's a cannibal? Because he's screaming it. He's just screaming it.
Screaming, I'm a cannibal. I want to eat you.
And he is running through you. Luckily, he's not able to go that fast because he's on ice. So he is slip sliding everywhere. But unfortunately, you guys can't run away. You're all slip sliding on the ice. And of course, you run across, you're running across the ice. You drop suddenly into an ice fishing hole. And you wake up, and it turns out you're actually in the cave of the descent the whole time. It was a fake ending. So now you're trapped down there with the monsters. And Heidi, that's your horror movie.
It's incredible. And I think it all completely adds up, because that whole part about hearing the chainsaw, I would think that's how other people drill into the ice. Like,
absolutely. As far as I know, that is.
Yeah. I don't see another alternative.
Oh, I love this.
And now we're going to write this for you, and you will star in it. I hope that's okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Would you ever want to star in a horror?
Yeah.
Like, is this, like, in your, you know, your dreams about your career, is this a area you'd like to explore?
Hell yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think you'd be great. Be you would be an excellent final girl.
Oh, yeah. You really would.
Yeah, you deserve a movie you're going to survive. You know, you deserve a movie. You're not going to die in that cave.
Yeah, you're making it all the way to the end.
Thank you.
Well, Heidi, thank you so much for joining us. It was such a pleasure to talk to you.
This was a delight.
This was so much fun. It felt like a girl's trip. It sounds like we haven't been on one in a long time, and we just did one.
Yeah, we just had a little virtual girl's trip.
The fake ending was we didn't record any of this. Like, it turns out it just wasn't recording.
We're going to start over.
Say the exact same things.
On our podcast, we always rate movies on the spooky scale. A range of 1 to 10 screams. The spooky scale is not quality of the movie, but how scary it is.
Okay.
So I'm wondering what you think, where The Descent falls on the spooky scale in terms of the real horror that imbues in you.
I'm not easy, and I'm giving this a 10.
Oh, wow.
10 out of 10.
Yeah.
And especially having seen the theater, I feel like that's the place to see a movie like this.
Yeah. Yep. This feels like a real theater movie. Movie you should see in theater.
You've said it, Allison.
I, like, no longer use words during the day, so every sentence is an exciting journey, and we don't know where it's going.
Well, Heidi, thank you so much for putting up with us. And thank you for listening. And to everyone at home, thank you so much for also listening.
Yeah, keep listening, please.
And in the meantime, please.
Keep it spooky.
Keep it spooky.
Keep it spooky. Thank you.
Ruined is a Radio Point production with executive producers Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, and Houston Snyder, recorded and edited by Kat Iosa.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.